From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, July 1st. I'm Jonathan Aull, in for Abby Larico. The Metro East community rallied behind three Collinsville teens taken by ICE in rural Illinois after a traffic stop last month. New records are shedding light on how that traffic stop went down and the conversations local law enforcement had after the arrest.
Then the English comes out.
St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz talks to our Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson about the incident that's coming up on The Gateway. Missouri officially has a budget for the fiscal year that starts today. Governor Mike Kehoe announced that he has signed the over $50.7 billion budget into law. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
Of that over $50 billion budget, $49.8 billion consists of the state's operating budget. Those bills fund Missouri's departments and are necessary to run the state. Missouri faced its tightest budget in years. That's in part due to the state either spending or allocating the glut of federal dollars it received, including from the American Rescue Plan Act. In a statement, Kehoe said the budget, quote, funds smart and necessary investments while also taking an important step towards right-sizing government to ensure Missouri remains positioned for long-term success. Included in the budget is nearly $10 billion for education in the state, including K-12 and higher ed, and over $2 billion for public safety. However, Kehoe also issued 65 vetoes, totaling over $30 million in general revenue. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
The union that represents employees of the Cahokia Heights School District has firmly rejected a proposed union contract. Nearly two-thirds of union members voted down a tentative deal that the union's bargaining team and the district reached in early June. Ray Roskus has been negotiating on behalf of the teachers' union.
We heard overwhelmingly at our membership meetings that this contract doesn't do nearly enough to recruit and retain the professional teachers that they have and that they want to attract.
Roskus says proposals to increase the union's base salaries by 5% and another to add $1,000 to medical insurance plans weren't enough. The Metro East District and union could either return to bargaining with a federal mediator or declare an impasse. That could lead to a strike, which the union wants to avoid. Haitian and Syrian immigrants living in the St. Louis region under temporary protected status could soon be deported after the Supreme Court rescinded their TPS status last week. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andre Henderson reports, service providers say family planning is necessary because separation could be coming.
The Immigrant and Refugee Ministry in St. Louis hasn't served any new refugees or asylum seekers within the past year, and leaders say they've only made contact with a handful of new immigrants because of recent changes in the law. Kevin Kuhl is a ministry coordinator. He says families have been recently calling about options for their children if they're deported.
They said, well, I'm worried about being separated from my children, or I'm worried about my children going back to a country where they don't have opportunities, where there is gang violence.
Kuhl encourages affected parents to attend power of attorney workshops and have a plan for all assets. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Charles City Council extended the deadline to apply for the property tax freeze. As St. Louis Public Radio's Addison Krebs Carr reports, seniors will now have until midnight on July 6th to apply.
On June 20th, a systems failure caused St. Charles County's online portal application for the property tax freeze to stop working. Because of this, seniors will now get 6 extra days to apply online. Officials say the online portal offers the fastest and most efficient way to complete the application. They said it was only fair, and they wouldn't want anyone to miss applying because of a computer glitch. Applications can be found on the St. Charles County website. Seniors must be at least 62 years old as of January 1st to qualify. I'm Addison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis County also extended its deadline for seniors to take advantage of the tax freeze. County residents can apply through July 10th. Missouri is one of the states that may need to pay millions of dollars next year to help feed low-income families through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP. The exact amount is based on a state's SNAP payment error rate, which includes overpayments and underpayments to participants. Most states with an error rate of 6% or higher will have to start paying a portion of the benefit costs. Christine Woody, the Food Security Policy Manager for Empower Missouri, says the change comes as states will also have to pay higher administrative costs for SNAP in October.
At least all of us advocates believe that really to do this in the proper way, you really need to increase in staffing, increase in oversight, increase in the number of folks who are working through these problems, and not just make like drastic cuts and drastic ways to cut people off potentially just to get the error rate down.
The changes are part of the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill signed into law last year. Illinois will receive a delay in their cost share requirements until at least the 2029 fiscal year. Growing cities contribute to habitat loss for birds and other wildlife, but as Jana Rose Schleiss reports, what happens in urban backyards can make a big difference.
In 50 years, North America has lost 29% of its bird population, due in part to urban sprawl. But dozens of bird species, such as robins, cardinals, chickadees, and more, can flourish in the urban environment through habitats created in backyards. Emily Miner studies urban ecology at the University of Chicago, Illinois, and her research shows backyard bird habitats can combat biodiversity decline.
People have lots of what we call wildlife resources in their yards. Neighborhoods that had more of those had much higher diversity than neighborhoods that had less of them.
Miner says backyards that contain diverse vegetation at varying heights enable birds to eat, nest, and rear their young. I'm Jana Rose Schleiss.
Nearly a month after a rural Illinois traffic stop led to three Collinsville teens landing in ICE custody, there are still questions. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz spoke to Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson about what we know after obtaining a new trove of records and recordings.
19-year-olds Hector Cruz Sanchez, Gabriel Jonathan Gonzalez Godoy, and 16-year-old Jesus Alexis Cruz were driving a white work truck on the morning of June 9th when they were pulled over in Morrisonville, Illinois. And that's a small rural town about 45 miles outside of Illinois' capital, Springfield. So a police report I obtained through public records request shows Morrisonville Police Chief Robert Ayton did that stop after a license plate reader had flagged their truck's plate for having an expired registration. So he investigates, and Ayton found the three teens didn't have a valid driver's license. And he left them off with a verbal warning, but not before calling up Christian County Sheriff Sergeant Robert Goble to help get that truck towed. So they took them to a nearby Casey's gas station to wait for their boss. Shortly after, the sheriff's office tells us ICE coincidentally found the three teens and put them in federal custody.
So you recently received a trove of records related to that traffic stop. What do these new records show?
So this trove of heavily redacted records has about 60 edited radio traffic audio clips from the Christian County Sheriff's Office, which does dispatch out there. A series of reports and two videos from Morrisonville Police. One of them is Ayton's dash cam camera, and the other one is a camera facing inside the vehicle to the back seat where the three teens were. One video shows the teens wearing a Chicago Bulls hat, a Jeff Gordon t-shirt, throwing some belongings that he had into the trunk of the police vehicle before shuffling in with a tote of clothes that had some Nike shoes and a few safety vests. The second teen climbs in, and he has a black puffer jacket, a Mexico hat, and the third has khakis and a neon yellow hoodie holding the other shoe. Though a large portion of the audio from the interior camera was removed by police without explanation, I called up the Morrisonville Village clerk, and she said law enforcement removed anything they believed to be an invasion of personal privacy or included conversations that were unrelated to the arrest. The rest of the video and recordings back up Ayton's report, though much of it has been edited or redacted. The dashcam footage ends with this exchange between Chief Ayton and Sergeant Goble from the sheriff's office. Ayton, who can be heard speaking first, is talking about the teen's response when he told them they wouldn't be getting a ticket.
Then the English comes out.
Yeah, then the English comes out. Those mother****.
There was a lot from that clip alone. What has the response been from law enforcement?
Morrisonville Police Chief Robert Ayton didn't respond to multiple requests for comment. Christian County Sheriff Bruce Kettlecamp dismissed concerns about the language used and said essentially it was banter between law enforcement officials who regularly deal with the challenges of interacting with, quote, not the most honest people. Overall, Kettlecamp defended Ayton and Goble, emphasizing he believes they really didn't do anything wrong. He said he understands the community's upset because a minor was involved, but local law enforcement did their job and ICE did theirs.
Where are these three teens right now?
Despite multiple asks, ICE wouldn't confirm the whereabouts of that 16-year-old Jesus Alexis Cruz. A spokesperson for Democratic Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski told me that he was ultimately transferred to the U.S. Office of Refugee Resettlement. This office deals with unaccompanied minors without legal status and places them anywhere from the foster system to a foster shelter or other things of that nature. The 19-year-olds, Cruz Sanchez and Godoy, were transferred to St. Genevieve Jail in southeast Missouri shortly after the stop, according to federal records. A federal immigration judge granted Godoy's request to be voluntarily deported to Mexico last week, but Cruz Sanchez remains in ICE custody. As of recording, that's at the Port Isabel Service Processing Center in Texas.
Any response from their families at all?
The teens' families declined to comment for the story, intermediaries telling us that they fear for retaliation against them from the federal government.
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz speaking with Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson. Read more about the case and view the related records at stlpr.org. Our Jessica Rogan edited that story. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Jonathan All, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.